Okay, here we are. Time for our nightly coronavirus update with Dr. Henry Nyman, Ph.D. We have a lot of news again. This is going to remain a very big topic for quite a long time. I don't know where to begin except at the top of the page, I guess, with some of the headlines. We have, once again, Donald Trump, as I have been saying, I'm no sage, but he is presenting more and more like a Shakespearean tragic comic character. There's a morbid aspect to this that is it's rather unpleasant to watch. Hate him or like him, it doesn't matter. Here are the headlines for you at the top. How hospitals are making big money on coronavirus. Very well written article. Read it. Court dismisses motion by Trump's brother to stop Trump's niece from publishing that blockbuster tell-all book. It's been already published and printed by Simon & Schuster. It'll be out in about 5 or 6 weeks. That's going to be another ugly one. Trump blasts Bolton for book allegations. It's, like I say, it's getting to be grimmer all the time. Trump says the coronavirus is going away. Again. But his own task force disagrees. Trump has been suggesting the coronavirus is under control now for 156 days. Don't know how he's counting. I don't know what he thinks the word control means. Trump remains entrenched in his failed strategy as the virus surges and his polling numbers drop. Americans disapprove of Trump's coronavirus handling by the highest margin yet, according to a new poll. It just goes on and on. And it's unfortunately only going to get worse for the Donald. This next 4 months, just watch, July, August, September, October, are going to be just a grueling from a number of different perspectives. Another report here, for every one coronavirus case, it is suggested there may be 10 more that are either current or have already passed. They're just not sure at all of the numbers. A new model, we know about models, shows universal mask use cutting U.S. death toll by 33,000 over the next 3 months. Something to read and consider there in the debate, the big debate about masks. All right, well, let's stop right there. Oh, here's one more. There's a story out of Sweden. An expert there, a coronavirus expert, you read the story, he said the world went crazy with lockdowns. He didn't think that, they got away without it, and they're doing pretty well. So, this whole thing is marked by very incendiary debates, arguments, policy decisions, you name it. It's really an unusual event in an unusual time. Welcome back, Henry. How are you?
It's good to be back. There's a lot of activity, as you said. The cases are kind of a rerun now. I mean, it's set an all-time high yesterday, and yesterday's record was broken today. So it's kind of a new high every day, at least during the week. It gets a little lower on the weekends. But the numbers are definitely going up. The number of states that it's going up in is definitely going up. Mm-hmm. And Trump is in another universe, along with the spokespeople saying, oh, they're putting out fires, just body kind of outbreaks. And they are just nuts. I guess we'll get a full-blown story tomorrow. They're going to hold a task force. They're going to have a meeting first time in 2 months.
What?
I have no idea what they're going to say, but it's It's going to be, you know, more quotables and more utter nonsense. I don't know if Trump's going to be there. I mean, he, you know, he probably is not going to talk about, you know, Lysol in the lungs or
Tulsa.
UV lights in the body somehow, but
that's right.
You know, he's
I wonder
still,
if they'll drag Jerry Kushner out again. You think?
No, I think he wants center stage. You know, it'll be him and I don't even know how many scientists are going to be there. You know, this is a task force. It's not clear, you know, what the task force is doing. They don't really say anything other than, you know, they get these people that I don't even know if they're on the task force just making absurd statements. And the number one in the absurd statements, of course, is Donald J. Trump, who I guess he was on twice today. He went to Wisconsin to something about a shipyard, a new ship or something, and commented briefly on the pandemic. And then I think he repeated it on Fox on Hannity tonight. But I just wanted to read this afternoon. This is Fox story. And I wanted to quote it because it's just, it's
sure.
hard.
Go ahead.
Yeah. It's hard to believe it. He said, almost 30 million tests. That means there will be more cases. Hold on. Let me pull this up. I had written it down, but I
all right. wanted to. I get the idea.
Quote it. No, quote it exactly. We're up to almost 30 million tests, said Trump. That means we're going to have more cases. Now, here comes the key. If we didn't want to test, or if we didn't test, we wouldn't have cases. But we have cases because we test.
Oh, my God.
So that's
who said that, Joe Biden or Donald Trump?
Yeah.
We're getting to the point now where it's a toss-up.
He said, no, it's not a toss-up. I heard Biden today. Biden was confusing because he was quoting Trump. So he did. So most of what he said came out of Trump's mouth, but he was just quoting him to say, to show how utterly absurd he is. And he went on Hannity tonight and said the exact same thing about the testing. And he's actually shutting down. He's stopping funding on, I think, 13 different test centers.
Right,
seven of which I believe are in Texas.
He's gonna hold those numbers down. Yeah.
Right. And so he is actually cutting back on testing. As the U.S. That's record numbers of positives each day now. And it's not just the testing. There was a report on one of the hospitals, I think it was in Houston, and gave out the percent positive of the people that are showing up at the emergency room. And they're getting, what do you think it is? What percentage of the tests are positive for people showing up at the emergency department in Houston, Texas?
95.
Well, pick it. No, it's not going to be that high.
No, I'm kidding because I never win your guessing games. Go on.
The test isn't that accurate. 30%.
Yeah.
30%
okay.
positive rate. So
that makes sense.
You know, that's kind of New York kind of levels.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And that is precisely what's happening. The numbers today beat yesterday. Didn't beat them by a lot, but they beat them. The big three, California, Florida, and Texas, each had over 5,000 cases today. And
was this New York all over again?
Right. Except it's spread out. It's not just one
geographically,
state.
Yes, of course. Yep.
And it's not just one city. It's, they announced today that they were halting elective surgeries in Texas in four counties that covered Houston, Dallas, Austin, and San Antonio. So all four of those major metropolitan areas are shutting down elective surgeries because they're running out of ICU beds and beds, period. I mean, they've got adults going to children's hospital because they're out of beds.
Well, Governor Abbott paused the state's reopening plan. It's on hold right now.
Right. And they did the same thing in Arizona. And this is that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to pause it at the very high level and hope for the best. And, so they're not cutting anything back. They're halting, opening more things up. And it's already out of control. And they realize it's out of control, but they're really not going to do anything about it other than, these things that are just like Trump, too little, too late.
We're getting a lot of okay, the stories
and
go ahead, finish up. Go ahead. Horses are out of the barn.
The barn, and they're talking about how many doors they're closing. And in fact, they're not even closing the doors. They're saying they're not opening any more doors. So it's ridiculous. It's gonna explode. They closed down things when it was up in the bigger cities in the Northeast and some of the, Chicago and Detroit and New Orleans, as well as the Northeast. They kind of shut things down, got things under control. And those areas, probably with the exception of Louisiana, New Orleans, Louisiana is definitely on the rise again. But the other ones pretty much shut things down, and at least for now, and I'm not saying that this is going to last, but at least for now, the numbers are down to a manageable level, and those look a lot like Europe. That's what Europe looks like. And they had the Italian lineage, and they had big increases. They were doing 30,000 cases in a day, and they locked things down, and they got the curve to flatten and then the curve to decline, and they got it down to a manageable level. And once it got down to a manageable level, then they started opening things up, and they're still opening things up. The EU is deciding who they're not going to let in. And right now there's three countries on that list. I mentioned that before. It's the U.S., Brazil, and Russia. All three countries are out of control. They're not managing. And the U.S., the curve just looks stupid. It says stupid on it. It goes up. It comes down a little bit. It flattens out. But it flattens out at a very high level. And now it's going up. And it's back to where it was before the lockdown went. So, the whole lockdown is out the window, essentially. All this really
out the window and way too late now. Contact tracing is gone as well.
They could never do the... Well, they can still do contact tracing up...
To a degree.
Where they brought it under control. New York has got a low number, and... Boston has a low number, and Philadelphia has a low number, and New Jersey
Henry, what about the story that I'm seeing fairly often now that younger people are being infected at a much higher rate than they were? Is that part and parcel of the Italian lineage vis-a-vis Orfeo?
That's
just
part
policy.
And parcel of how they handle the lockdown. Those
Got
are the
it.
First ones that are out and about. That's not they actually had that in eastern Pennsylvania. That was noted when the numbers started to go up. The the average age was quite low. It was in the I think it was in the low 40s or so, and it kind of was striking as to what the average age was on the initial cases. But then that number started to go up, and that really is a reflection of activity, that essentially younger people, A, think they're invisible, not invisible, but...
Well, some younger people do think they're invisible. And go
ahead. Right. They think they're invisible severe illnesses. So they're invincible. And it's not going to be a problem if they get the virus. You know, it's probably not even that bad. They'll get some antibodies, and they'll have a flu-like symptoms for a week or so, and it won't be a problem. Or if they go in the hospital, they'll only be in for a few days, and they'll get out. Mm-hmm. And they're not gonna go on a ventilator, and they're not gonna die. And
the next question is
lower, but.
Are younger people doing better with this virus when infected? Children are apparently, allegedly doing better. Or is there much of a difference?
Well, better than what?
Better than being in an extended care facility and out of here in 3 days. So,
They've always done that. They did that with SARS.
Same thing.
They did that 17 years ago.
Well, I remember all those pictures of all those healthcare workers in Toronto who went down to that one hospital, and there was a lot of people. And there were a lot of younger people there from the Philippines and so forth.
Right. But those were infected. Those weren't necessarily the ones that were dying.
These were all dead people I happened to see.
Very,
it was a big plague.
Were very age-dependent with SARS. It was... I mean, it got attention because... the initial cases included those that were, late 40s and their 50s, early 60s. So that was a young age to end up with pneumonia and die. So they had that age range. But the most of the deaths were older, 60s or 70s. And the number of deaths in the 20s were exceedingly rare. And there weren't any children then either. So, I mean, the age distribution of SARS, whether it's the SARS in 2002, 2003, or if it's SARS-CoV-2 or COVID in 2020, it's the age distribution is the same. I mean, it's exactly what it was, and the case fatality rate was very dependent upon the age, and so that hasn't changed at all. It's always been that way, and that's why the fact that you've got younger people that are your initial cases in these areas is just evidence of why it's back in these areas, is because they undid the lockdowns too quickly, and the younger people know that they have a much lower fatality rate, and they think they're invincible, and they can go to the bars, and they don't need masks, and they can do what they want. And the worst that's going to happen is they're going to have, they're going to be in bed for a week, not in the hospital in bed. And most of them won't even get that sick. And so that's how it's starting out. And like I said, that's how it started out in eastern Pennsylvania, is that you had younger people were going into the hospital. And there weren't that many dying, and then the virus spread and got to the older population, and then the deaths started to pile up. And people with underlying conditions, the deaths started to pile up there also. And it got into the big cities, and you had more deaths. And And then they had the lockdown, and it got under control. Now it is related to the Italian lineage. The Italian lineage is much more transmissible, so it's much harder to control. So the measures that were taken to keep things under control with the other lineages don't work as well. And it seems that all of a sudden they're getting all these cases that are rolling into the emergency rooms, in part because they just have all these cases. The number of people that are infected are higher. You know, the CDC said, well, it's probably 10 times what the confirmed cases are. You know, they're only picking up a small percentage. And that's based on antibody tests, and they're seeing how many people have antibodies.
Those are 50% correct. So what is your thought on the actual number over confirmed reported that is out there? What's your guess? Or was
out
there?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 10 times. That would mean there's 25 million that have been infected. And I can believe mm-hmm. there's 25 million that were infected. But mm-hmm. there's 350 million. So there's, you know, 300 million, over 300 million that haven't been infected.
Well, the virus is just getting warmed up.
And yeah. and a high percentage of those will be infected by the end of this year. So mm-hmm. that's why the fall wave is going to make the spring wave look like a walk in the park. Yeah, you know, it's going to get much, much worse. And this whack-a-mole type of situation where, you know, it starts out in the Northeast and a few other big cities, and now all of a sudden is showing up in a totally different area that those bigger cities have very little other than Louisiana. But now it's showing up in the South, is the Italian lineage, so it isn't that easy to control. And the states that were saying, not a problem, you know, we got lots of hospitals, come on down. You know, it's not going to be an issue like Texas and Florida. Uh-huh. Now both of them are getting concerned. They're both generating 5,000 cases a day. And the hospitals are no longer, you know, I think Houston, some of the hospitals are 100% as far as ICU beds are concerned. Others are like at 97%. And, you know, they're going to start being in big trouble in the next couple of weeks. And there's no indication that the numbers are going down. And there is indication that it's spreading. That, I mean, just to give you an idea, like I said, California is probably going to get a little bit higher, but as of 7 o'clock local time, they had 5,067 today. Texas had a new record. They got up to, they were four shy of 6,000, 5,996. And, the other one was Florida, had 5,004 today. So all three of them got about 5,000, but the ones that are getting in the close to a 1,000 range, Louisiana is up to 938. Tennessee's at 799. North Carolina's at 1,009. Arizona's over 3,000. Alabama's at 1,142. Mississippi's at 1,092. South Carolina's at 1,115. So you've got all these states now in the South. Today, they all did over 1,000 cases. And you've even got it creeping up outside of the South. I mean, Ohio had 890 today. Tennessee is kind of still the South, had 799 today. Mm-hmm. Illinois is up to 894. So the numbers are creeping up, and they're creeping up because the you know, restrictions have been lifted. There was a lot of movement Memorial Day weekend, and now that kind of gets the virus out and about. Those restrictions that were lifted are still lifted, and so the numbers are starting to creep up in some of these areas, and they're, you know, starting to go through the roof in several of the southern states, and actually even in California, in the southern California, in the LA area, in San Diego area, they're starting to get big numbers now. And both of those areas have the Italian lineage.
All right. The mask debate. It continues.
Yeah,
very emotional.
Exactly. It's stupid. It's not a debate. It's utter nonsense. It is Trump creating a massive problem, a health problem, and that's the reason these numbers are so high. There's nothing to debate on the mask.
I was one of the very first in the beginning to say we should all have masks right away. That's what I said.
Stupid propaganda by the anti-science commander-in-chief. and he goes around without a mask. He tries to get other people to not wear masks. He's got a Secret Service under quarantine now because they're infected. He's a mobile cesspool that goes state to state and leaves bodies in his wake. And it's only going to get worse. It's going to culminate in Florida. I mean, he's down big time. I mean, his poll numbers are going down.
And Henry's talking about Jacksonville. The convention Trump is supposed to accept the nomination.
I
think there's a 50-50 chance he's going to drop out, frankly.
I don't think he's going to drop out. If he drops out, he's going to go to jail. You know, he's going to go to jail. You know, why do you think Barr got involved with the Southern District of New York? He was number one when went to jail. I mean, you can't send one person to jail. No, Cohen. Cohen was his lawyer. Cohen went to jail for doing what Trump told him to do. Trump was person number one in the indictment.
That's right.
The idea that the person that was following orders goes to jail and the person gave the orders doesn't make sense from a legal standpoint. You can't have one guy ordering a person to do something, have that person go to jail for following
instructions. Well, he took the fall. There's no question about it.
He took the ball because you can't indict a sitting president, but he's still number one, and that's why Barr got into trouble with Berman. I mean, that's the case that he was meddling with. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, in any event, what will happen if Trump isn't reelected? It will be of interest, but in any event, he's not going to drop out. I mean, he's going to go and, I mean, what he'll do is he'll say it's a rigged election. he'll say too many people voted by mail. You know,
well,
it's not real.
It's already been laid out. Sure.
Right. So that's his plan. His plan isn't to drop out. His plan is to lose and say he didn't lose. You know, so in any event, his numbers are paralleling the virus, and the numbers are going up. I mean, Fox came out with a poll today, has him behind in Texas. I mean, it's technically a tie. He's only behind by a point, but they got him as a tie in states like Texas and Georgia. And they got him losing big time in Florida. If he loses Florida, he doesn't really have much of a path.
Battleground states are really in trouble. When you say his ratings are following the virus, you're talking about inversely. The virus is going up, his ratings are going down.
Exactly. But it's also in the states that the virus is. Where the states that have the virus going up, his numbers are going down. So that's why I'm saying he's significantly down in Florida, and he's barely down in Texas, and he's barely down in in Georgia, and he's significantly down in North Carolina. So the states that have a lot of the virus are causing him problems. And the, you know, even the governors are kind of throwing in the towel on the mask story. The mask story is just utter stupidity. There's no reason not to wear a mask. And the only ones that are debating it are the, you know, is a Fifth Avenue group, you know, that you can shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue. Well, now he can go around and kill people throughout the country. And it's okay, and they'll help him do it by, you know, not wearing a mask and going in mass to the areas that he directs them to, like, you know, to Arizona or to Tulsa. Yeah. So
it's, all right. Let's give Dr. Henry Nyman's basic advice, baseline advice to the average American who is listening, who has not been infected yet. What are your protocols? What are your counsels to these people? What would you suggest? Well, you pretty much stay home. You get your groceries delivered. Right.
If you go out and about, you should be wearing a mask. You should get a N95 mask so it goes both ways so that you're protected as well as going out. You shouldn't go out that much. You know, the more you go out, the riskier it's going to be. You know, the idea these restaurants are just a joke. I mean, they're places to be avoided.
It doesn't matter how far away you sit from somebody else in there,
for God's sake. So you're going to be in a closed area for an extended time period. You're going to have somebody bringing you food that's going around from table to table.
It's total circulation
ship,
in there.
And so the situation is not going to, you know, dramatically improve. The situation is going to dramatically decline. And right now, you're seeing it more in the South. And it may actually be because it's too hot to go outside and they're inside an air conditioner. I'm not sure why it's as dramatic in the South as it is. But I don't think it's not going to stay in the South. By the fall, it'll be throughout the whole country, and the numbers will be significantly higher. And the more you go out, the riskier it's going to be. And so it's just an exposure thing. You know, the virus needs somebody in close proximity to transmit. And and there are plenty of people out there now. I mean, the numbers
air
are
travel,
going up. Yeah.
Train travel?
Air travel's a disaster. I just saw a story on the worst part on air travel is going through TSA. There's been 763 TSA agents that have been positive. 6 have died. And, you know, they don't change their gloves that often, and they kind of go and check out personal items, and then they do pat downs, and so just getting to the plane is you're running through the gauntlet there of all these ways that you can get infected before you ever get on the plane, and then apparently some people have refused to wear masks and they've been banned, which is a good idea, but it's still, a dangerous situation. And you can't be guaranteed that they're going to keep the middle seat empty and you're going to have some.
It some doesn't
distancing.
Matter.
You're not.
Sorry.
Well, they're not,
not
even going
to
do that. They cut down the number of flights so that the
planes are fuller.
They're certainly emptier than usual, but some of these that are going to vacation places are still relatively full. And so air travel's a significant risk. And even, you know, something like, you know, any place you're in a closed area for an extended period of time, you're running the risk. And And I mean, you're running the risk that even if you have a mask, you can kind of contaminate yourself when you're putting on or taking off the mask if you're not using disposable. Well, you run the risk when you take it off, and if you're not using disposable ones, then you run the risk that that the outside protects you while it's on, but then you get it on your hands or somewhere in the house or something when you take it off. So you have to be careful as far as handling these PPEs. But it's going to be a danger zone, and it's going to get more dangerous in the fall. The numbers are going to go up. You know, some are predicting that half of the country will end up being infected. So
second wave, or just the first wave expanded? Doesn't matter.
No, I think, well, in most of the world, it'll be a second wave. In the U.S., it really doesn't look like it's going to be hard to distinguish, because I don't see the numbers dropping now. I mean, you might call it a second wave in New York, you know, or Boston, or the places that already had a wave and it's gone down and it's pretty low, and then it's going to go back up. But some of these other places, like in the South, it's not going to go down before the fall. You know, it may dip a little bit, but I don't even think it will, because, you know, the control measures are to stop opening things up. It's to pause. It's not to shut things down. And so I don't know. You know, I think they'll just, you know, throw up their hands and say, hey, we're doing the best we can, and you should wear a mask, and you know, if you can, stay home, and it'll just get totally out of control.
Here's a sign from USC, Henry. I just found it. It's a sign on an easel next to a hand sanitizer at USC, and it says, keep calm and wash your hands. USC.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's...
Keep calm.
You can
I haven't
whatever
seen that
you
before.
Want.
I like
you
that, though.
You can say
though.
Whatever
calm.
You want, but it's not good. And I mean, I'm assuming you're talking about Southern California and not South Carolina, but...
No, USC. University of Southern California. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they both use USC.
So, I got you. I'll send it to you.
I think in Southern California, that's where I went to graduate school. So,
that's right.
But in any event, LA County is not doing very well as far as cases and going up and getting the Italian version. So Southern California has got some serious issues. San Diego does also. And the numbers, you know, just keep on going up. You know, California's 5,000 so far today, you know, 6,000 a couple days ago. But it's you know, it's in the yesterday was a little lower, it's 4,600. So yesterday was kind of the low point. This week it's 4,600. Was over 6,000, close to 7,000 the 2 days before that. And today is 5,000 at least through 7 o'clock this morning. But the numbers are increasing, and really the driver of the numbers is really Trump. I mean, that's just the long and short of it. I mean, he doesn't wear a mask. He goes and
that's
his followers
enough.
Think that,
no
that, that they're not supposed to wear a mask, and they think it's all overblown, and there really aren't that many cases, when in reality there's probably 10 times as many cases as been reported. So
right.
They think that everything's being reported. It really isn't that common. And frankly, you know, here's another personal story here. You know, in Pittsburgh, you know, hasn't had that many cases. Been a lot more cases in eastern Pennsylvania than in western Pennsylvania. And I just heard a story this morning about a doctor that had been tested positive, and heard about one of his patients, which I think is all of his patients. You know, they were notified that the doctor they had just seen has tested positive. And I assumed that, you know, you're positive. I mean, if you're a contact of somebody that's been lab confirmed, that they would go ahead and test you and see if you're positive. And apparently, they're not. They'll only test you if you have symptoms. So these are contacts of lab-confirmed cases are not being tested. They're just waiting for them to develop symptoms. And, of course, as you know, you don't have to develop symptoms to be infected and be shedding virus. And so, you know, that's what I thought was a pretty dramatic example, whereas even today, you know, I guess they're listening to Trump, you know, test, you don't have it, that even contacts of lab-confirmed cases are not being tested. And I was surprised to hear that. You know, I thought that was the criteria, that basically if you were a contact of somebody that was lab-confirmed, no problem getting tested. And at least in this case I heard about, which I heard about today, was a bit surprising. And my guess is I have no reason not to believe the source of this story. And I think that's probably pretty widespread if they're not testing up here in Pittsburgh of confirmed cases where the numbers are relatively low. So I thought they'd be pretty aggressive on contact tracing, that, you know, they got a case, they haven't had that many, and they'll be sure to not only tell those people that, you know, they should probably quarantine, but they would actually test to find out if they're infected and get an idea where the virus is. And they're saying, you know, we'll test you if you develop symptoms, give us a call. But otherwise, you know, just don't worry about it. They're not saying don't worry about it. I think they're saying to quarantine. But they're not saying, you know, we'll double check and see if you've got it or not and what the level is and, you know, that type of information. And they're apparently not doing that. So, the number of cases is probably quite a bit higher than what has been reported. And the masks do help. And the areas where they're not wearing masks, which are probably, you know, that's probably part of the driving of the number of cases in the southern states. But the other driver is the fact that they never really had it under control when they kind of lifted the lockdown. So, I mean, the best example was Trump going out to Arizona. I mean, he went to that Honeywell plant, and they kind of still had restrictions. And he said, don't worry about it. It's not a problem. You don't have that many cases. And,
and everybody
gotta
around
get the economy rolling again.
Yeah.
And they just lifted the restrictions that day. And now Arizona is one of the hottest, you know, states in the country, probably is the hottest state. You know, they are running out of beds, and, you know, they're up to 3,000. Their population's not that high, so 3,000 cases a day is a lot for Arizona. And it's in the major cities there. I mean, there are only, you know, Phoenix and Tucson are the two major cities, and they both have, you know, potential capacity issues.
Henry,
there.
And anything new on the heart attack spike that was most noticeable in New York? Any other areas reporting increased heart attacks, heart issues relating to the virus?
They all had that. Yeah, you know, I talked about excess deaths. I mean, all of these states, all of these cities that had big big spikes in cases, whether it was Chicago or New Orleans or Detroit or Boston or Philadelphia. They all had the same thing. This way, there wasn't anything unique about New York other than that was the first major outbreak in the United States, and it was the Italian lineage. All these other outbreaks that I mentioned are all due to the Italian lineage. There was a little bit of a mixture in Chicago, but everything, once it got going in New Orleans was the Italian lineage. Detroit was the East Coast, New York, New Jersey, right, and Eastern right. Pennsylvania. So, and that's what's in these other areas. I mean, that's what was in Phoenix. Phoenix had the Italian lineage 2 months ago. And then it spread throughout the South. They didn't have it initially, but that's what they have. So the heart attacks isn't unique to New York at all. I mean,
I didn't say it was. I only suggest that was the only venue I saw reports coming from that dealt with the increased heart attacks. I was wondering if you saw any other reports.
Because it was so dramatic. I mean, it was like, they normally get 20 or 30 calls and they were getting 100 calls. And,
that's right.
And the 65% were dying when normally 30% died.
But you're saying we had similar profiles in other urban areas.
Right,
okay.
Right. If you look at the CDC puts out these excessive deaths, and like I said before, they're based solely on a death certificate. It has nothing to do what the coroner said or whoever signed the death certificate regarding the cause of death. It's just this is the age and the date and the location of this person that died, and a death certificate's been filed to note that that person did die. And if you just look at those death certificates and how many they have, all of these cities that I mentioned all had this big spike in cases, and they didn't all die in the hospital. Some of them died at home. Some were not classified as COVID because they didn't get tested. They died, and they took them, straight to the crematory.
They barbecue.
A lot of them were just cremated. Right. And so the virus, there's little wrinkles. Like I said the other day, it's possible that they're actually causing diabetes in addition to diabetes being a risk factor.
And, what would the mechanism be? What would the mechanism be? The virus decides to attack. What would kick off diabetes?
It attacks the pancreas. It kills the cells that make insulin.
That's so it. Straight away. Okay.
Right. The virus has this polybasic cleavage site. Cells that are producing furin can cleave the spike protein, and it needs that cleavage to get into. It needs the receptor, so it uses ACE2 receptor, and B, it needs a protease because it doesn't encode that. It relies upon the cell to provide the protease. And with this cleavage site, it's got the sequence is recognized by furin, and furin's a protease that's fairly ubiquitous. So there's a lot of different cell types that have furin and also will have the ACE2 receptor. And so the virus can get into those. It's not limited to the respiratory tract, which is, what it normally does. And that's the same type of a mechanism that is high path avian influenza and is high path Newcastle disease. They all have polybasic cleavage sites. They can get into more cell types than usual. And as a result, the virus is much more lethal. And in chickens anyway, they spread very dramatically, and there's a high mortality rate. And and a low pass can go to a high pass by picking up a polyvasic cleavage site. So it can start out being low pass. It gets the cleavage site by recombining. It's not even homologous. It can do non-homologous recombination and picks up a polybasic region in the cleavage site, and all of a sudden it's selected and it's off to the races.
Right.
So,
well, off to the races it is.
But I think tomorrow we'll get over 40,000 cases. And if we don't get it tomorrow, it'll definitely be next week. And that would be, you know, another milestone. There are 40,000 cases per day, new cases. And
lots of tombstones.
Lots of tombstones and no contact tracing.
All right.
Once again, you know, there's doesn't matter how many doors you close, the horse is out of the barn.
Very good. Okay.
We'll do another update tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Henry. Okay.
Okay. Take care.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Dr. Henry Nyman, PhD. And if you're new to the program, Henry was working on the SARS virus 17 years ago. He's one of the world's foremost virologists, and we're very proud to be able to bring that knowledge and wisdom to you every night. We'll keep following this. It's obviously not going to go away. So hang on. Back with you tomorrow night.